The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. Do you all right, Al?
I'm very good, thanks, Jess. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, have a nice weekend or not?
Yeah, great weekend. Great weekend of sport. Great to see that we finally beat the Aussies yesterday in the test. That was a terrific nail-biter. Wonderful test cricket when it's played like that. It's an absolute edge of the seat. Can't watch, have to watch event. And Wokesy and Mark Wood were just great. They just stayed the crease, you know, took everything the Aussies could throw at them. Bairstow and Root and excuse me.
Oh,
dear, my word. Harry Brook and the others couldn't stay the pace, but those two did. It was a real spectacle. And, of course, we had the British Grand Prix too, which is great, and Wimbledon. So it's all going on.
Yeah. That's sucker. Okay, let's get on to Stockton, Al. So what are you looking at first?
Okay, Green X Metals. Haven't spoken about Green X for a while, but they Green X have a legacy asset, which of course is the asset in Poland, where they are currently challenging the Polish government. They have a claim for £737 million worth of historical damages for lost profits from the Jankarsk and Debiensko gold mines in Poland.
How much?
£737 million.
Yeah. How long has this been going on for now?
It's been going on for several years, but they currently have a market capitalization of $247 million Australian dollars. So, so that should give you that's basically about 160.
128 or something.
Yeah, 150 million market cap. So that should give you some idea of the potential, and also the fact that they are very confident in their ability to recover it. They're also well funded. They have a $12 million litigation funding agreement in place to cover costs and expenses, so that they're well on course to cover that. So that's an unusual legacy asset there. That's just going on in the background. Nothing else happening. But if you look at the share price, we've seen some pretty interesting action since August last year. Share price was bumping along at about 10, 11p, and then all of a sudden shot up to 46p, and then higher still. We've seen a high of 61p already this year, and so it continues, and with good reason. We've been publishing details about the Arctic Rift Copper Project, which they are working on to develop. And this is, of course, in Greenland, which is really one of the last great unexplored areas of the Earth. And it's normally covered in, well, the north of the country is normally covered in permafrost. Of course, with global warming, some areas are now becoming accessible, which is a good or a bad thing, depending on which way you look at it. Mostly a bad thing, actually, for the planet, but there we go. Green X has become famous across social media. It uses these amazing Sherp all-terrain vehicles, and the company took an expedition up to a fjord in the north of the country and landed on the Arctic Rift Copper Project prospect. Went to several areas, and the copper that they were taking out of the ground, literally with their little pickaxe and hammer, it was pretty well smelt already, and that's just unheard of. I mean, the quality of the copper is quite exceptional. So they've identified these high grade samples. They've confirmed they're there, and of course you then have the fact that yes, Greenland's a wonderful country, but the logistical issues of getting stuff out. But when it's this pure, obviously the maths add up and it becomes commercially viable. So of course with the funding I mentioned, that money is going to be coming into the company. So they are in a position where they can look and speculate and see what other projects that they can work with. Now, they're working with a partner called Greenfields Exploration Limited, which is a private company, GEX, and they have this morning announced a further agreement with Greenfield to acquire up to 100% of the Eleanor North Gold Project in eastern Greenland. So, of course, this complements the Arctic Rift Copper Project. And this has the potential for what's referred to as a reduced intrusion-related gold system, which is similar to various major gold projects in Canada, including Donlin Creek, Fort Knox, and also the Dublin Gulch. So it's similar in its geology to that. Lots of documented mineralization and a geophysical bullseye some 6 kilometers wide at the high priority project, which is the NOAA Pluton project. Ben Stojkovic, CEO, said today, we know Greenland's got enormous mineral potential. This is an arrangement with an existing partner, and obviously it's almost a no-brainer because it's in a similar region, and it just adds to the group's activities. And I think, you know, when you're operating in a remote region, if you can have two or maybe even three projects instead of just the one, the economies of scale that go with it, you know, getting logistics, equipment to site, everything else just makes it so much easier. So this is a really exciting step forward. The share price we've seen already has done very well this year, and I think once that ruling is completed, they'll have some money coming into the account, and that may even enable them to fast track what they have, which is of course the Arctic Rift project. It also may even lead to further acquisitions. Who knows? But anyway, GreenX is certainly at a very exciting juncture, and I think you know, with once that court case is complete, then I think we're going to see the pace of activities accelerate.
Did you say they got any timeline for that court case or not? You can't tell with the government.
I wouldn't. No, there's no guidance on that. Only to say that the team are very confident in what they put together, and you know, I think the team.
Well, they are.
Yeah,
they said we're not very confident in what we put together.
The team of lawyers they're working with, I think, have a 99% success rate. So you know, and obviously, when you've got that sort of success rate, you're not going to take on cases that you're not absolutely confident you're going to win. So
no, exactly.
So you know, that really tells you, I think, what you need to know. But certainly, yeah, I think the company's at a very exciting juncture as we stand at present.
Lovely. Right, what's next, Al?
Okay, another mineral company, and again, this is you know, when you've got difficult markets, you know, we've spoken about these markets, just, and it's challenging for so many companies. But I think, you know, when you've got good people and a quality project and people involved that really make a difference to the way a project can develop, I think that's very evident, and that's certainly the case with Lexington Gold. Lexington Gold, back in December 2020, changed its name from Richland Resources and acquired a number of gold projects in North Carolina. Going through, of course, we've had the company's established Jork Resources across the Jones Key Laughlin project, and has a number of other gold projects operating in the area. It's a very active area, great infrastructure, of course, but the company has been very ambitious, led by Ed Neal, the chief executive, who's very well regarded. A few months ago, they announced a condition acquisition for a company called White Rivers Exploration Company, WRE. Now, White Rivers Exploration was established by Australian billionaire Mark Creasy. And Mark Creasy, if you Google Mark Creasy, this guy has the Midas touch. He's a veteran geologist, and everything he touches, not everything turns to gold, but his success rate is quite exceptional. And if he gets involved with companies, then, you know, you've got a pretty, there's a, everyone's interested because he's involved, because he's obviously done the math, he's been on the ground and checked it out for himself, and put his own money in. So White Rivers Exploration Company, it's a major tenement holder in the Witwaters Rand goldfields in South Africa, getting off at 90,000 hectares. There's over 37 million ounces of gold estimated to be in the area. Through this, through White Rivers, Lexington will be operating a joint venture with AvGold, which is a subsidiary of South Africa's largest gold producer, Harmony Gold. Total historical gold production over the past century from Witwatersrand Rand Goldfields, over 2 billion ounces of gold. And they have an exploration target to go at, which is estimated to be between anywhere between 6 and 62 million ounces of gold. Sampling has already pulled out samples in the region of 4.96 grams per ton to 11.5 grams per ton. And the company has today announced it's raised $2.5 million to execute the deal and to push operations forward. The $2.5 million also pays off a number of loans, including the $300,000 lent to the company by Mark Creasy, which brings Mark Creasy in as a major shareholder in Lexington Gold. Chief Executive Ed Neilan has also invested $100,000 of his own money. Again, the company is at a very exciting juncture. We're going to hear a lot more news about the Witwatersrand Goldfields project as we go forward. But at a very exciting juncture again. Share price is up again this morning. We hit previous highs of 10.5p. Year lows is 2.7p, so we're up again this morning, just over 1%, up to 6.19p. But it gives the market, the company a market capitalization of $17.5 million. So I would say with the assets they already have established in North Carolina and this new project, I don't think there's any premium in that whatsoever at the moment.
I see. LEX, yeah, it's a nice little uptrend in the chart there. Obviously, it's spike up quite high. 10.5p, but back down to 6.2. Mm-hmm. But now they've got some funds, have they?
They've got some funds, yeah. They're funded, but you know, it's always good to see the management getting involved and investing as well. But Mark Creasy is very significant.
He's got
here.
The Midas touch.
He's got
everything
the Midas touch.
Is turned to gold. Cool,
yep,
of the guy.
Yep. Well, check him out. You know, look at Mark Creasy. Just Google Mark Creasy, see what comes up.
Are you a big fan of Cool and the Gang?
Yes, I remember Cool and the Gang.
How did they come up with that name? How did they come up with that name? So there are guys that come up with the lead singer. I've come up with a name for the band. I'll be cool, or are you just a gang?
Yes, my name's Cool.
It's a bit biased, isn't it? What about can we name the rest of us? Like Fab and Great and... No, you're just the gang. I'm cool, all right?
Or so, just awesome, you know?
Yeah, know your place, guys. Yeah.
Could just be awesome in the gang, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, my name's like, awesome.
I always find it funny that you know, Bon Jovi's name came about.
Yes.
How did that come about? John Bon Jovi. Guys, I come up with a good name of the band. What? Bon Jovi.
It's my surname, yes.
That's my surname, John. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty much the main guy. What about this? No. I was going to put a name at John Bon Jovi, but, you know, give you a bit of credit. It's a band now, so I'm ashamed there's a Bon Jovi. That's quite an ego there, isn't it? Just to name it after a surname. What about the rest of the guys in the band?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's like Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, isn't it? You know, it's Knopfler and Sons wouldn't have exactly, rung any bells, but Dire Straits, good name for a band, and then, of course, he established the name anyway, so, yeah.
Well, you could have gone with Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, Mumford and Sons.
Right, anything else, Al? What's next?
Okay.
Sorry, clear my throat here. Go on, go for it.
Go for it, mate. Okay, Georgia Capital, CGEO. Now, Georgia, of course, is a country it borders Russia in the south, given everything that's happening in Russia at the moment, investors are cautious, I would say, about investing certainly into that region. But Georgia Capital really has blazed a trail. The country itself has a very strong economy, GDP growth of 10%. I think inflation is currently running 8%. So growth is still outpacing inflation, which is good to see. The currency currently is stronger than sterling. And Georgia Capital is invested into business infrastructure in the country. It's invested into Georgia Bank.
Why is it stronger than sterling then? What do you mean?
Well, it just is. It's the preferred currency there at the moment. I think anything is stronger than sterling at the moment, isn't it?
No, sterling is rising here. It hit a high against the dollar recently. It's a 12-month high.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But the currency is stable versus sterling, and I think a lot of the currencies in smaller countries, you know,
is the currency there?
Hang on a second.
It's a good question.
Goodness me.
It's picking up the currency. I don't know what it is. Currency.
I'm just going for my nose there. Georgia.
Georgia.
Capital currency.
The lari.
Yes, that's the one.
I don't think the Georgian lari.
What's the best currency to take Georgia?
Stronger than
the lari. Yes, the lari. Okay, the lari in 2002-03. Should I carry cash to Georgia? Yes, you should. Local currency lari.
Often
quoted. Lari can't be bought outside the country, but US dollars and euros can easily be exchanged for local currency. There you go. Okay, so it's the lari. We now know that. Actually, I do have that on my nose. It's just it was scored in the corner. Anyway, so
that's how important it is.
Yes, very important. Anyway,
you can't say that the currency is stronger than sterling. You can take sterling around the world, pretty much. We all know dollars are the reserve currency. You can take that anywhere. A lot of countries that accept sterling. You won't accept the Georgian lari. Would you accept the lari, please? The what?
Yes.
You have a lari, in you?
So. back to George Capital. Regardless of the strength of the lari,
the Larry.
Or otherwise, Larry.
That'll
be two Larrys, please. Regardless of the strength of the lari or otherwise, just take a look at the Georgia Capital chart. That will tell you what you need to know. Strong, steady investment. This time last year was trading at £6 a share. It's now trading £8.45 a share. As I said, Georgia Bank is the company's main investment, but it's also invested into health, the health infrastructure, hospitals, also the educational infrastructure, and also pharmacy chains throughout the country. And it's constantly amending and adding to its portfolio in order to spread risk and minimize risk. But the company has delivered a solid return throughout that. In May, Edison Research has put a note out, said that the Georgia Capital share price is rising, but it's yet to catch up with a growing net asset value, and the current price implies a 64% discount. And when I spoke to Ken Baksh in an interview last year, he also picked out Georgia Capital as a great investment, pointed out that it was trading at a discount to net asset value. The NAV value is currently £21.41. So we're still a long way off that, but given a lot of shares in the market are trading at a discount to net asset value, that doesn't come as any huge surprise. But I think what is impressive more than anything is just the if you're looking at a company to invest in, and you take a lot of you look at charts, and charts form a major part of your buying decision. I think Georgia Capital for the chartists is well worth a look, because it's just top right hand corner stuff all the way.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to be buying it just for that the Larry.
Yeah.
It's a cracking currency.
And then you bring in the Larry factor. It's just a slam dunk.
The Larry factor. Do you accept the Georgian Larry? The what? Larry.
Oh, shut that
door. It's better than sterling. Where in the world did you get that?
My name's Sterling. Do you accept the Larry?
Is he with you? No, it's a currency. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Larry Grayson, yes. My God, insane ramblings or what?
You brought it up. Okay. I like the way, the matter of fact, you say it's more stable, it's worth more than the sterling. No. Well, maybe in Georgia it is, nowhere else.
Well, I think if the currency were unstable, Jess, that would be reflected in the chart. But that's one of the best charts
really,
I've seen.
Because you've got lots of money coming into Georgia from other countries. I don't think they'll keep the Larry, though. I mean, they want to travel around the world with a Larry.
Well, yeah. Unless
Larry's a backpacker, I don't think you'll travel around the world with him.
You're in Georgia. Oh, God. Cut, for God's sake.
Okay. Anyway, no, on a chart perspective, it's looking very good. And if that's if that's a result of Larry's factor, then it's impressive. But I tell you what we should look at, Al. I've been looking at this stock for a long time. You know, Future PLC, you know, FTSE. Well, today, it had a tumultuous 2 years. You know, they've had a new CEO come in, and he's a sharp guy. He bought, like, 800 grand of the stock at, like, 888 or something, or around about 9 quid. And it's been going down. It's from 40 quid, it's down. Then today, they've announced a share buyback, which is very interesting. This may see the bottom of the chart, of the share price, because they're looking at 10% worth of... of indices buyback, so about 45 million, and I think that will put a floor under the downward selling pressure because they've got that buying coming in. Have a look at the chart, it's bounced on the bottom, and it's now, I suppose, it's higher than it's been for the last how many trading days? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. So basically, it's at a four-week high, pretty much. But this is off the bottom. Early days yet, but has the momentum stopped? Downward momentum stopped? And if so, the re-rate could be quite impressive. Because even they're on a PE of 5. You know, this is a company that literally has done compound annual growth of revenue by 58% over the last 5 years, compound annual growth of net profits of 138%, and it's on a PE of 5. And traditionally, this is on a PE of like 30 or something. So there's worry about advertising markets and AI, but they're adopting AI, and I can't see the advertising market being that affected that quickly by AI. And in fact, they're adopting it anyway. So it's been massively oversold, I believe, on a PE of 5. It's one of the stars of the internet, isn't it? It's come on the stock
market. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, it came from literally pound a share to 40 quid a share, and now it's down at £7.44. But the chart is looking quite promising. I think with that buyback starting to happen, that will definitely stop the downward pressure on the share price. So it's got a long way to re-rate. Even if it goes to 14 quid, it's a double, but that's nowhere near the previous highs, you know? So, but there we are. And that's a PE of 10, so you know, it's nothing. It's not, not even expensive, is it, for a growth company, you know?
No, exactly. No. Well, that's pretty impressive. So, I think Future PLC. I know someone I was talking to a while back. They were a huge fan of these, and but I think it was before the big sort of fall. So
if you like them at 40 quid, you love them at £7.44. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Because it's that much cheaper. Anyway, we're still recording. Cheers, Al. Thanks for that. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.